Okay, we are continuing in Parak Tesvav in Hilchos Ma'achal Asuros. We left off with Halacha Chaf Hey. So what this is going to introduce is the principle of Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Chatchila. Basically what that means is that on a tactical level, okay, let's say I have, let's say a drop of milk falls into a pot of basar. Let's say the ratio is 30 to 1, which means everything's asur. In theory, if I added in enough, meat, I can end up nullifying the substance, okay? So without question, that's a way, so to speak, to loophole around the system. As such, the Chachamim said in the Lacha Chafei, asur levatal yisurin shel Torah lechatchila, when it's an isur deraisa, right? And when the food's asur to eat me deraisa, you can't get rid of the isur ideally. However, vim bitl ha-reza mutter. But if you did it, you can't deny the reality that the object is batal. The afal pichein, nonetheless, kansu osu chacham v'asru akol. Nonetheless, the Chachamim, in a sense, they punish that individual who did this by making the entire tarobis asur to him. Virali, kevan shehu knas, since it's a knas, in osrin tarobis zu, right? Ela al zeha overship bitl isur, aval achayim akol mutter. So the Chachamim aren't saying that the tarobis is, the mixture is objectively usser. Rather, what they're saying is that for this individual, he may not consume the substance because he was mevatel the isser l'chatchila. Halacha chavav. Now, ketzav, what's the case? Sarei nafla seya shel orla l'soch mea seya, shrei nes rakol. So one seya of orla falls into 100 seya of something that's mutter. Everything's usser. Lo yovi mea seya acherus. He can't come along and bring another 100 seah, dump it in, and this way he'll have 201. Vim avar v'asar came, but if he did so, hakol mutter, the mixture is still mutter, aval be'isur shel divrayim, mevatlin isur l'chatchila. However, when it comes to an isur d'rabbanan, this is almost a segue to the next halacha, when it comes to rabbinical isur, you are allowed to go ahead and mevatlin isur l'chatchila. Now, what's an example of that? Halacha chav zayin, ketza. Cholav shenafal l'kdera sheish v'basar of. Okay, let's say milk falls into a pot that has chicken in it. Remember, cooking chicken and milk together is a derabana. V'nosan tam b'kadera, and it's giving flavor into the dish. Mar b'lo basar of achar, ashi vatal tam. I can take tons of chicken, throw it into the pot until I get to the point where there's no taste of milk in it, and that'd be perfectly fine to do l'chatchila. Okay, lacha chavches, kvar b'yarnu, sh'im nosan dabar ha'asar, taimo b'dabar ha'mutter nesar kol. All right, so the general principle in halacha is that any object, any food that is usr, that introduces flavor into the davar mutter that's in the pot, everything becomes usr. But now comes one of the most important qualifications, medvar amurim behishvicha. All right, it's only if the usr food makes the mutter food or improves the mutter food. Avalim pagam zeha usr, right, which is, this is called nosin tam lefgam, if the davar usr, okay, makes worse the mutter. Right, so let's say we'll give an example soon. But if putting the usher thing in actually makes the thing that's in there presently that's mutter worse to eat, nesar kol. Okay, b'med dvar amurim. Excuse me, the hifsit taimo harizim mutter. Right, so if it makes the tam worse, then it's mutter. V'hu shiya pogim mitchila vatzo. So this has to be where the pegima, the detraction, is goes from beginning to end. Avim pogim mitchila. Right, but let's say initially the presence of the usher food with the mutter food makes it taste worse, right? Makes the mutter thing taste worse. However, if it's sofo lashbiach, but over time cooking it together and makes the mutter thing taste better, or vice versa, it starts off making the mutter food taste better, but eventually makes it taste worse, then areza usher. So nosin tam lefgam must work from start to finish for it to be mutter. Okay, yeah, Ron, go ahead.
How do you determine whether it's better or not?
So the Rambam will have a couple cases, and we'll use those as a basis. When I get to those cases, or when we get to those cases, we'll discuss that. But it's a very complicated question. So let me get through it, and then I'll come back. And I think the Rambam addresses it. But anyway, but it's an excellent question. I'll give you an example today. A good example today is coffee. Okay, if somebody, the example I always like to give is if somebody boiled pig lard in a cup, and then wash it out. But there's tom pig lard in there, and you put a cup of and you pour coffee into it. It's a good bet to say that the pig lard is nosin tam lefgam. Now, of course, it's difficult to know how to objectify this. Okay. One other point, which Rambam doesn't bring in here, is that pigam also, the other way something becomes pigam is if it's out for 24 hours. So if a pot's left out for 24 hours, the tom inside becomes pigam as well. But it's an excellent question. How we objectify it? Excellent. especially with
also different people like different things.
Right. And not just different people, let's say different cultures. For example, in Japan, what would be considered a pagam might be considered a mashbiach here and vice versa. Excellent. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. But I think you bring some examples in. So lach chavdes. Umi yitzum es ha-tarugas. Okay. This is also a famous question, which actually in the Ashkenazi world, we don't really rely on anymore. But who should take, whereas the Rambam's always said all along, no Saint Tom, the expression of flavor is what is determinant whether the tarugas is us or not. But who's going to taste it? Okay. Can the Jew taste it? So it depends. So if it's truma and non-truma mixed together, tomos and a Kohen can taste it. Why? Because a Kohen's lati truma. Right. So again, we'll get to meduma later on, what that means. But if there's tam truma recognizable, if the Kohen can taste it, then it becomes a problem. Now, of course, the more common case, lach alamed, v'imaya basa rechala v'yayin nesech v'yayin orla v'kilai karem, shenafu advash. Okay. Let's say it's one of the, let's just use basa rechala. If it's basar b'chalav, or let's say it's basar shkatzim or masim shenispasim a yarek, or let's say it's, what do you call it, the meat of bugs that's mixed with, let's say, a soup or a vegetable. Toim osana akum. So a non-Jew is the one who can taste it, and then the subkhanapiv, right, and we can rely on what he says. So if the non-Jew tastes it, right, we rely on, we trust him. Im amar im botam, if he says there's no flavor of the usher thing, or I shouldn't say that. He says there's no flavor of, let's say, yayin, okay? Osham or yesh botam, right? He says there is a flavor. Umita'am rahu, bare pagmo. He says, but it's making, it everything tastes bad as a result of it. Hakol mutter. Everything's mutter. And again, v'hu shalo yesh sovel ashbeach mashbiyarna. V'im ein sham akum litom. Now, this is the backup. If there's no non-Jew to taste it, what do we then do? Then we rely on v'sharanoso b'shiru b'shisho me'ab masayim. Then we fall back to the system of bittel, i.e. Shisha Meir or Masayim, okay? But the halachic system was set up, ideally, to use a non-Jew to taste things. The halachah laman aleph. Now, achbar shenafal l'sheikhar l'chomeitz. Okay, so let's say a mouse falls into a barrel of beer, right, or vinegar. Mishar no sobejishim. You measure 60 against it. Sh'anu choshishin, why? Shema taimo b'sheikhar b'chomeitz mashbiyah. Because maybe, before everyone, I understand why people might be offended by this, because maybe the rat will make the, or the mouse will make the beer better. Here's where, this is not an answer to the question, but he's hinting at it. Let's say this thing fell into wine or oil or honey. It's mutter. Because in this case, we can definitively say that the mouse makes the oil worse. Because these things are supposed to smell good. And what is the achbar doing? It's taking away from that. It's detracting from that that feature. Okay, that's the closest you're going to get to an example. Halacha lama beis. Now gadish etzalo bechalbo asu lecha afilu miksa mikatsa ozna. Okay, let's say you take an entire goat and you roast it over a fire in its fat with its chalev. I can't eat any of it. Okay, why? Shachalev nivla beivara who mashbicha benosim otam, because the fat is getting absorbed into the various limbs. It's making it taste better. It's giving flavor. Therefore, let's say the gedi did not have a lot of fat in it. It was very lean. The lohaya bo chelav klayos, the lo chelav karev, right? And let's say it doesn't have, what do you call it? It has very, very little of any kidney fat or what do you call it? Or the usher fat that's around that stomach area. Elema'at ke'echad mishishim, okay? It's basically, comes out to 1/60th of the animal. Kolef, you could peel it off. Ocha acha megila chelav. Right, so you can go ahead and cut away the meat and eat until you get to the point of the chalev. V'chein yerech shetzalo begid anasha is a famous case when you roast, let's say, the thigh of an animal, and what's in that is the gid anasha begid anasha sheba kolef ochel. You can eat from the meat until ad shumagia the gid, until you get to the gid itself umashlicho. Then you chuck it. V'chein behema shetzalo shlema. So too, if I take an entire animal, it's a whole animal, and I roast it below hister lochutim lochrumos asuros. And I didn't remove the sinews and the membranes I'm supposed to that are usur. Kol efocha, I can eat the meat until I get up to that point. The kaman shadil davar usur, when I get to that usur thing, chosko, I cut it, umashlicho, and I throw it away. Shein begidin min no saint tam, kedei v'shar behen. Again, since the gids, the sinews, do not give off tam, there's no mechanism to really measure against them from a tam standpoint. Allah halam gimel, na ain't solo basa shrutin basa nevelo, but behemat mea, but on recha. You should never roast together kosher meat and nevela meat inside one sealed, very, very hot oven. The afish ain't no ginzebezet, even if they don't touch each other. However, vim salana is a mutter. But if I did, it's mutter. The afilo haisa asura shmeina harbe, right? Even if the nevela, let's say, is very fatty, the amuteris raza, and the kosher meat is thin and lacking a lot of fat, shehareach ina oser, because recha, which is steam, right? It does not actually, well, it's actually not steam. It's really the smell. Zeya is actually steam. But anyway, the reach is it doesn't oser, because it's not substance. The ina oser el taim oshel oser. Only tam is oser, not the reach. So flavor, well, that's also a bad interpretation, but reach is not an oser. Tam is what is the oser. So in this case, it would actually technically be mutter. Finally, lach alam adalid, basar nevelim liach. Okay, let's say I have salted basar nevela, okay? Shenivlo ima basar shchutim, right? That it's mixed together with kosher meat. Harezen ne'asar, it's asar. Why? Mideisha tamsis on nevela, nivlas beguf basar shchutim. Because basically, the juices of the nevela, due to being salted, is going to get into, absorbed into the kosher meat. V'efshar la'amod kan, lo al tam v'lo al shir. And unfortunately, you can't rely either on flavor, because you can't really detect it, so to speak, nor on measuring. Also, if I have a salted non-kosher fish, so if I take a non-kosher fish that's salted and I mix it together with a kosher fish, what it called? It becomes usher because of the brine of the non-kosher fish. But the salted one's tar. The hisfil dog tame, lo nesam aliyah. Then if I mix that, so to speak, with a non-kosher fish, the salted kosher fish is not asur. Af bi shehitfa bolea minim aliyah, even though there's some absorption from the brine, ain't a bolea kol chach shiachsur vilflo. We'll get to this principle later, but basically it doesn't absorb enough that will then go ahead and allow it to exude tam. So basically, if you think of tam as molecules, okay, so which is the best way to anthropomorphize, and to think of it in a physical way, basically what happens is that, imagine there are little tiny molecules of tam that absorb into something, and then that's called blia, and then something called plata, which is the exuding of those molecules. So just because something absorbs something doesn't necessarily mean it will exude it as well. Dag tamei shekavsho im dag tar. Let's say I take a non-kosher fish and a kosher fish and I pickle them together. Hakol aser, ela imken ayatame echad masai min atar. Unless the non-kosher, the kosher non-kosher is 200 to 1. Yeah, go ahead, Ron.
Back to the case of having three pieces of meat, you know, the trefa, the nevela, and the kosher in one oven.
Well, just two pieces, sounded like, it's two pieces.
Okay, whatever. So right. It sounded like me'ikar hadin, it was mutter?
Yeah, it is. Because we don't hold that recha, we don't hold that, technically speaking, the Rambam Paskins in the space of the Gemara, recha is not, recha lav milsahi, meaning, okay, why shouldn't you do it? You shouldn't do it because reach is one step removed from tam, right? Tam is flavor, right? But let's just think, again, let's think about it. Like, in other words, what happens? I put one piece of meat, hot meat, on top of another piece of hot meat. So what's going to happen is the flavor of one is imparted into the other, okay? Now, it doesn't mean if I look inside, I'll see flavor, but if you tasted that second piece of meat, you would taste the other meat in it. Reach is where the two pieces... Well, reach is like, let's say you have the oven and you keep two pots uncovered in the oven. What's going to happen is that one is not touching the other, but they're sort of like in the air, there's like smells of each getting into each other. Now that's related to tam, but it's not tam.
So there's, but in that case, and also in the case of, let's say, what is it called? Grilling, the buns together. There's no chashash of actual fat, you know, flying from one to the other, substance flying from one to the other?
No. No. And if you, and don't ask you about ovens today, because it's even less of a problem. Because a tanur that they're talking about, if you recall from Shabbos, is sealed. Okay. Today we have what it called? Our ovens are open. However, if you want to say there was a problem, the problem would be if you use a convection oven, right? That's where this could be an issue, because with convection ovens, like my oven is a convection oven, has a convection setting. That's where the fan's blowing things around. Then you could have an issue if two things are uncovered, one could carry something to the other, even though I don't think the fan is that strong. But in general, no. Reicha lav milsahi. Halacha sets that point. It's not tam.
Right, but it's not reach I'm talking about. It's actual substance.
We don't have the chashash. I mean, what's the concern that it's gonna? It doesn't like float in the air and, you know, get over there.
Well, when you're grilling, it could, for sure.
Well, if you're grilling on a spit over a fire, right? In other words, let's say I have one thing here and one thing here over the fire. I'm not sure. If one that you could do it vertically, but horizontally, it doesn't seem to be the case. You know what I mean? But certainly in the oven, that's what the Rambam would hold. Okay. Perek Tes Zayin. So now we're going to get into more halachas of Tam, okay? But the primary part we'll start off with here, the first few halachas, we're going to get into what's called Davar Chashuv, okay? Davar Chashuv, we've seen hints of this before with things like Beria, which is a creature, but Davar Chashuv is that there are certain items where the rules of Shear don't work, okay? Because the items are, in quotes, important, okay, or distinct, and we'll get to them soon, okay? So Halacha Alter Rambam says, Kol Shear Ma'ilu, the first thing the Rambam says is all these mixtures we're talking about of something usr or something mutter that mixed together, okay? We're not talking about cases where the davar usr is something that either is a fermenter, okay, or is a spice, okay? Oh, davar chashuv, or something that's called something important, which we'll get to soon, shehu omed kamo shehu, right? Galonis arev. The nidba b'davar mutar, or this davar chashuv, which can never actually be mixed into, in an abstract way, into the mixture. Okay, it always stands alone. Okay, avayim ayam mechametz metabel. But if it's something that is a chimutz or it's a spice, o davar chashuv, or it's something that's a davar chashuv, osur b'kol shu, the smallest amount makes the mixture asur. This is one of the huge wrinkles in how shiurim works. Let's see some cases. Lacha beis ketzad seor shel chitin. So if I have yeast right from wheat shel truma. Right, so if I have some yeast, wheat truma yeast that falls into dough that's non-truma chulin, and here's the key, there's enough of that yeast in there that it will allow the dough to ferment. Okay, then we say we treat it as if the entire isa was mixed with truma. So too, truma spices that fall into a pot filled with chulin food, and it's enough to impart spice flavor into it, right? And it's from the same, the min of the chulin, hakomaduma. Again, we consider this as a tarobus of truma. Even if the tavlin, even if that little piece of garlic is one of to 1,000. Same halacha applies to kilayim, or let's say s'or from kilayim or spices from orla, the measurement is kol shehu. Okay, that's those two categories. Now the Rambam switches over to davar chashuv, which is a little more complex. Halacha gimel, davar chashuv, 1 second. Well, okay, yes, s'or, there's actually s'or and s'or. We translate it as yeast, but they didn't actually have little packets of yeast. It was basically, the best way to look at it is as starters, meaning a substance that you can use as a starter for other doughs. Okay, halacha gimel. Now, davar chashuv, what's a davar chashuv? Shehu oser b'mino b'kol shehu, shiva dvar me'elohein. Now, before we get too ahead of ourselves, davar chashuv is not just limited to these seven things, all right? However, the Rambam is going to say, these are the seven, let's say, cases that certainly existed back in his time of what is considered davar chashuv, okay? And you'll see the halacha, how it applies in a second. So, you have egoze parech, rimone bedon, chavio sasu. Okay, so let's take those two. So you had a certain kind of nut and a certain kind of pomegranate. Okay, the chavio stumos. Okay, if you have sealed barrels, the chalfos tarden. You have these like beets, certain types of beets, klache kruv, certain types of cabbage, right? Udalas yivanis, a Greek pumpkin or squash, the kikar shel baal bayis, and that's bread baked by a person in his house rather than commercial bread. Okay. These seven things, it's important not to get too focused too much on the specifics, but you have these items are all examples of davar chashuv. So what does davar chashuv mean practically? Halacha d'alad, ketzad. Rimon echad, rimone bedon shehaya orla. Let's say I have one pomegranate from bedon, okay? And that turns out it's an orla rimon. V'nisara bekama alafim rimonim, and I mix with that one rimon bedon a gazillion regular rimonim, hakol asur banaya, everything's asur to benefit from. The whole mixture is aser. If I have a sealed barrel of yain orla, if it's mixed up with 1,000 other sealed barrels, they're all aser. This applies to all of the other seven things as well. Okay, if you have a piece of meat that's nevela or from basar behema or chay ov or dog tmein or b'stan kosher, that's mixed up with a thousand other. Again, this is a piece of meat. 1,000 other pieces of meat. Hakol aser akshe bi osa chasicha. They're all aser until I take out that discrete chasicha shal nevela. Then I have to measure 60 against whatever the remnants. Shem lo higbia, because if I don't take that piece of meat out, harei davar aser omed, that thing stands alone. The chaticha nevela below nishtane, right? It doesn't change. The chasicha chashuva etzlo shrei miskabed ba lifnei orchin. That's the key lines. It's called chasicha ruya liskabed. What it means is that this piece of meat, okay, is an important thing, right? Because why is it important? It would be like steak is the best example. Okay, steak is an honorable food, meaning it's something you serve. You don't just have steak every day. It's a chasha food. It's something you give it like a nice suda, right? Since that's its status, I can't just leave it in there and rely on bittel. I must remove it because it stands alone. You can't erase it. And so too, lachavav huadim bechasicha shel basar b'chalav. Also, when it comes to a piece of basar b'chalav, o shechulin shenishchetu bazara, or let's say chulin that's shechted in the base of mikdash, shereina surim b'divrayim b'hana. Those are asar b'hana midrabanan, k'mo shisparav l'choshkita. Osun b'kol shehin atchet b'osan. At the presence of them, make the entire Torah as usher until I remove them. V'chein gidon nashash nishbash lima gidon. Oyim abasar b'zman shemakiro. Right? So the gidon nashash, if I cook it with other sinews, right? As long as I can see it, magbio v'ashar mutter. I can remove it and everything's mutter. She'im b'gidon nosin tam. But I got to remove it. V'im eno makiro. If I can't see it, akol usher. Why? Neshehu beria b'fnei atzmo. It's its own entity. It's distinct as a gidon nashash. Hariu chashuv osur b'kol shu. It's important, and therefore, any small amount makes the tarovis aser. Let's do one more. V'chein kol ba'alei chayim, another important principle. All living animals, chashuvin hein, are considered davar chashuv, eina b'telim. They don't, the presence of any live animal in any mixture makes the entire mixture aser. L'fikach, shor haniska. Let's say a shor has been condemned for skila. Shenis are be'ela shvarim. It's mixed up with 1,000 other shorim. The egla rufa, the elafagala. So let's say you take an egla rufa, mix it up with 1,000 eglas, otzipor mitzora, shkuta, elaf siporim. Let's say tzipor mitzora that's shechted, that's set aside along with 1,000 siporim, or petacharim, elaf chamorim, kulan asurim bahana. They're all asur with bahana. Aval shardvarim, but other things, afapi shidarchan limanos, okay? Even those things that are normally sold in numbers, for instance, eggs. Eggs are sold by the dozen. Hare elu olam b'shirin. Then shear would still work. So something loses its chashivas as a davar chashiv if it's sold in multiples. So for example, lach cheslan here, ketzad agudo shel yerek mikalei karam. Let's say you have a bundle of vegetables that are kilayim. Shedis arva b'mesayim agudos that are mixed up in 200 mixture bundles. O esrog shel orla, like an esrog that's orla shen sorry mesayim esrogim. That's mixed up with 200 srogim, hakol mutter. Okay, because they're sold in a, what it called, of a minion. They're not limited to what it called as being sold by themselves. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll finish this parak tomorrow.